This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you, Eli Braden, for that amazing theme.
I love it.
I don't want to go
on and on about it. I get emotional every time, you know.
I'm not going to go on and on about it this week. I'm just not. I feel like it's going to, his head, but it is fucking great. What a great theme.
But this is our first show of the new year.
Oh my God.
Finally.
Happy 2023.
Happy 2023. We're doing it. We're doing it.
Doing it, nation. Yeah.
I'm super excited, Danny, about...
What a great way to start off the year.
Yeah. We have a heavy hitter, as I would call it, a heavy hitter.
At least you can only go uphill from here, put it that way.
But y'all, I got to tell you, this guy, director, writer, actor, like... Everything this person's done, I think it's just except for maybe a couple of things you've written and directed and acted in. Like, yeah, but one of my favorite documentaries about the Comedy Store.
The Comedy Store thing is, well, introduce him first.
It's Mike Binder, everyone. It's Mike Binder, everyone. Come on, it's Mike
great
Binder.
Mike Binder.
I am so, thank you, Mike, for being
thank
here.
Thank you for doing this. It's such an honor. It's such a pleasure to meet you. We have so many friends in common, and you're somebody I always wanted to meet. So I'm happy to do it.
So, okay, first off, we always like to ask, like, how did you get started? Where are you from? Give us your origin story.
I'm from Detroit.
Oh.
Actually.
From Detroit.
Detroit, Michigan. And I got started, I came out to Los Angeles when I was 18. And I started as a doorman at the Comedy Store.
Really?
At
18, that's amazing.
At 18, yeah, just right at my 18th birthday. And I told my parents that I actually lied and told my parents that I had a job and at the Comedy Store and that I was going to Los Angeles Community College, which I did for a week and actually for 4 days. I made four of the first 5 days. And
wow.
I always promised my dad later that I would one day go back and finish out the week. It was a deathbed promise I made to him.
Yeah. Oh man.
Did you follow through?
No, I didn't like my dad.
I
got time. Yeah. But I just, you know, listen, I was obsessed with comedy from an early age, from like 9, you know. Yeah. I just saw Woody Allen on the Tonight Show and I would see David Brenner and Robert Klein, you know, and I just wanted to do it. And I never wanted to do anything else in my entire life.
That's amazing.
But be in this world.
Yeah.
And I moved out here the minute I could. And I went to the Comedy Store. I drove out here and the Comedy Store was closed.
No.
And it was shut down. And it was kind of an interesting story. When I got out here after driving all the way across the country with everything in my car, I just got there and the place was shut down. It was called the Funny Farm and that was shut down. what happened was Mitzi had been kicked out of that place.
Oh.
And there was a guy named Leonard Barr. I don't know if you know who that was. He was an old-time vaudeville comedian. But he was a craggy old guy. He was Dean Martin's uncle. And he was...
Wow.
His claim to fame was he was the old vaudeville comedian in this movie, The Sting. And he just looked like an old relic.
I know that part.
Yeah, and he walked by as I was standing there. It was like in a scene in a movie. I said, hey, you're a comedian? He went, yeah. I go, where do young comedians go? He went, they go home. I'm telling you, that's exactly what he said to me. He walked out of that Hyatt house and he was going down towards La Cienega. He goes, the Comedy Store's closed. I said, is the Comedy Store closed? He goes, yeah. I go, where do the young comedians go? He goes, they go home.
Wow.
And I was just like devastated.
For sure.
I said, I had lied to my parents and I had made up this story and I had fantasized this life for myself that I'd read in this book called The Last Laugh about all the comedians that were out here doing it.
Yeah.
And I had a hotel room that I had rented at Western and Sunset Boulevard for like $9 a night. And I went back there and I don't know what made me decide to do this, but I looked up the Comedy Store in the phone book at the hotel.
Uh-huh.
And it was listed at the Comedy Store in Westwood. And I don't know why I decided to look that up, but I called them and I said, you're open? And they said, yeah, we're open. So are you the one that was on Westwood Boulevard that I had read about in that book? They said, yes. I said, well, when is amateur night? They said, Monday. And this was, I got there like on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So that Monday, I put on a suit. I don't know why. I thought comedians had to wear suits. And I went to Westwood and I found this parking spot and I had to hop over a wall to get back up to Westwood Boulevard and I ripped my suit. the whole front leg of my suit from the knee down just ripped.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and but it doesn't matter. I got caught. They put your name in a hat, and I got called, and I got a primetime spot. And I went up there, and I didn't really know who Mitzi Shore was. I didn't know anything about the place.
Uh-huh.
And I went, and I like I said, I had just turned 18, and I had been doing it in Detroit. I never did really great, but I did good enough to think that somehow or another I had a future.
Yeah.
But I went on stage with the ripped pants and I killed.
Really?
I just killed. I don't know why. It was like all the stars were aligned. Because I didn't have a good set again for another 6 months.
Wait, how many minutes did you do?
Like 10.
Oh, wow.
Back then you'd get 10 minutes on potluck because there weren't that many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. What year is this?
1976 or seven, something like that.
Yeah.
And when I went off stage, I mean, I really had a great set. All the comedians came around and introduced themselves to me. And Argus Hamilton,
I remember,
was the MC. He came over and he said, Mitzi Shore would like to meet you. And she just said to me, I went over and I met, she goes, I'm the owner and I want you to work out here. You're very talented. I want you to be a regular here.
Oh my God.
What are you going to do? Because I said in my act that I just got here from Detroit that was some of my jokes. She said, what are you going to do for work? I said, I don't have a job. I have to get a job. She said, well, you can work here. You can be a doorman. And work here and you can take, I'll give you some times to work out, or if someone doesn't show up, you can jump up in the spots.
Oh my God.
And that was that's what we used to call them, fallout spots.
Yeah.
I did that. That's how I survived for the first few years. And then during the day, I babysat for her kids, Peter and Polly. And
I mean, you talk about the star, you mentioned the stars aligning, but I mean, what a confluence of events that took place there, that you get up on that tide, you'd find it in Westwood. I didn't even know they were in Westwood at that point.
No.
And the
funny thing is, I got to tell you, this is a great thing. She goes, I don't like the ripped pants gag. You don't need that. You don't need to do a gimmick. She thought that that was my gimmick.
That was your shtick. Recall. You're like, I'm the guy with the ripped pants.
I'm the ripped pants guy. Yeah. Mikey ripped pants.
Wow, what a story. What a story. And like, who was in your class around that time? I'm guessing if it was that fight, like, who did you come up with? I know the class that preceded you, but who were the
I came up with Howie Mandel and Dave Coulier and Bob Saget,
yeah,
and Jim Carrey, and Argus Hamilton. He was a little ahead of me, but those were my guys, you know. Saget and Coulier and I were really tight friends. Gary Shandling,
right? That was
those were all. Yeah, that was kind of my era.
I actually did see you at that Saget thing at the Comedy Store, the little tribute they did. I saw you over there. Like I was with Kevin Nealon. I came over there with him. But I've been watching.
I wanted him to go up that night, but he didn't want to go up.
Yeah, he was just kind of feeling it out. But I was surprised because no one gives a better eulogy than Kevin.
I know, and I really, you know,
yeah. But that's amazing. What a group.
Well, now, so then how did you get into acting and directing?
And writing.
From stand-up to?
Norman Lear.
Really?
Oh.
Norman Lear came to the Comedy Store one night. Yeah, back in the old days, you know, I think there was more, you know, one of the things you said about, you know, a confluence of events or whatever. The Westwood Comedy Store, and even then when the Comedy Store reopened a few years later, but it was such a, everybody, something, they knew something was happening because of Robin Williams and Letterman and Leno. And it was the college town at the time. And
sure,
it was packed every night. And, you know, every big shot producer, director, and studio head wanted to get into that place, you know? And Norman Lear came in one night and he put me in this pilot called Apple Pie. And it didn't go far. It was a short-lived thing because it was at ABC and he was like a CBS, big CBS run.
Yeah.
But that kind of got me going. And then Barry Levinson put me in a remake of Diner.
Wow.
A remake of Diner?
Yeah, a TV remake of Diner.
Oh, I didn't know how that. Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that in development.
Yeah. And I played the Steve Guttenberg role. So that kind of, but that wasn't, believe me, that was, you know, that was, I would say all that was when I was like 23 or 24. So I was out here for a while by then. But I just, you know, I did like six or seven different pilots and parts, and it was just a different time, you know, and like, yeah. I say, because the Comedy Store was so hot, and we did a bunch of young comedian specials there for HBO, and I was in a couple of those, and
yep.
And
who were on those specials with you? I'm trying to remember the ones you were on, you had done over there. I remember watching all of those as a kid.
Yeah.
I was on the one that Victor Borga hosted.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I was obsessed with him when I was a kid. I love Victor Borga.
I was on, Robert Wall was on that one.
That's right.
Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, who became Pee Wee Herman. And,
yeah. That was the first time we ever saw him, right? Like at a national level. Yeah. I remember that very well.
Yeah. And then I was on, I did my own special from Detroit with and Howie Mandel and Paul Rodriguez and Dave Coulier were the guests on that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You guys are freezing.
Paul Rodriguez, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Paul Rodriguez. That was another guy from my era.
Oh, wow. Yeah. AKA Pablo.
Yeah. I played his roommate on that show.
I remember that. Sorry. Yeah. You guys are free. I'm just going to turn off my camera a second. Was I freezing? Because you guys were freezing. I couldn't tell.
Oh.
No. Okay. You can hear me though still, right?
You mean temperature wise?
No.
Like, how do you know? Yeah. I was on a Zoom call with Howie Mandel the other day and someone sneezed. And you could see that he got all skittish. I went, Howie.
Hysterical.
It's Zoom.
You're safe. You're safe. I promise you.
Oh, my God.
I feel like every time I was doing those Zoom comedy shows during the pandemic, and I would hear people sneeze constantly. I'm like, yeah. Oh, wait, it's Zoom. It's fine.
Hey, now, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Did you just play the San Jose Improv?
I did. I was there all weekend opening for Leanne Morgan.
Oh, man. That's my favorite room.
That place is awesome. That was my third time being there. I'd opened for Brad Williams there once. And then they had me do like a one-off night and I headlined. And this was my third time back. But that room is fantastic. It's like a theater.
It's amazing. I bet you Leanne packed them in, huh?
Oh my God, she killed too. And her crowd, like I've never in my life done a show that started at 5:30. Like
is
ever.
Is that true? That's why does the show start at 5:30?
Her crowd, her audience she skews older. So everyone was like,
they don't have much time.
Yeah.
They don't have much time. This could be the last show we ever see.
But I mean,
there's a two soup minimum.
Yeah. But her audience was like, I mean, they were like the whole time I was like, I cannot believe I'm doing a 5:30 show. Like, this is like, no one's going to be energetic or no, the place was packed and everyone was just fired up. It was so much fun.
And look, what were the ages, do you think?
I don't know. I would say like 50s to 60s to 70s, maybe.
That's great. I love to hear that.
Yeah. Like, but people were. And, you know, Leanne's a clean comic. She's not, but she's not like squeaky clean. It's not like.
Yeah, I mean, cleanish.
Yeah, cleanish, but she's still, you know, she has
edge.
She does her thing. And so, like, I make sure I don't use bad language or anything if I'm opening for her. Because
love to see how you.
Her crowds were so, like, the guy that was a manager who was so lovely, his name was David. And he was
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, and David was like, we had to go open more like boxes, like six more boxes of wine glasses because all her people were buying the most expensive bottles of wine.
Yeah.
He was like, I would have her every weekend if I could because her audience was so lovely. Like they're not rowdy. They're not.
Well, that's really funny. I'll tell you, because I was there. I middled for featured for. Is that what you call it?
Featured.
I was featured.
For Jeff Ross. Right. Oh. and Dave kept saying, man, nobody eats more than Jeff's crowd. You know, which I'm sure is a very distant second to nobody drinks more than wine than Leanne's crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, but and her crowd, while they had wine, they also all ate dinner. You know, they were and if anyone even, you know, like attempted to maybe try to take a picture. And, you know, a server had to go, hey, don't do that. They were like, I am so sorry. I apologize. Like, there was no, like, people being kicked out or anything. Like, everyone was so lovely and wonderful. Her crowd
was
great.
You know who the male kind of version of that is Brad Upton.
I don't know,
him.
I don't know him.
Oh, you guys got to check him out.
I will.
He's so funny, and he sells tickets like crazy. And he's really clean. He has the biggest drive bar comedy special of anybody.
Really? Brad Upton.
Millions. And he's 70 years old.
Wow.
He's been around forever. Really funny. And he just sells out these rooms like, instantly.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Leanne did a dry bar thing, and she actually talks about it on stage, which I won't ruin because she has her first Netflix special coming out in April, which I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too.
Is that what took her to the next level, was the dry bar special?
Yeah, it was like her dry bar special had like 50 million views. Like, wow. I mean,
it just really blew up, huh?
It really blew up. And also,
it's watched a bunch of people, I think. Yeah. It definitely has.
David, that manager, he was saying that, like, he goes, a lot of the people that were coming into the shows were like, we've lived in San Jose forever. We haven't been to a show before because they don't want to watch a vulgar comic.
Right.
You know, they were wanting to see clean comedy. And I was like, that, you know, like, there is such a huge market. Like, her, like, Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, yeah.
Nate Bargatze is another one that's, like, Nate and her, especially because they have that Southern thing.
Yeah.
You know?
For Bigley, this bit where, like, because he is clean, but he talked about, like, once he opened, he had the Muppets. And it was very early on. He was opening, doing something with the Muppets. So it was a whole Muppet crowd. And he was really flustered. And he walked out on stage and didn't have his stool that he needed. And he said, fuck. You ever heard him do that bit?
And, no.
And all of the Muppets turn on him and the crowd. Because he had to go off and get the thing. And it was like, he could never win them back. Because he was just the guy who got on stage and said, fuck. It's such a funny bit.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, because Nate, you know, he falls into that category where it's like you watch their whole special. You can watch them do an hour and you don't even realize you're watching clean comedy, like Jim Gaffigan. Like, you don't realize, they've never said one.
It's really funny because I'm a huge Louis C.K. fan.
Mm-hmm. Likewise.
And I just watched his new special streaming. And it's really, it's the first time, I mean, he was... It's not that he was dirty. It was just really crass.
Yeah. You know? I was laughing
my ass off, but it was just so crass. You know, it was like, it's like once he gave himself that license, it was just like, everything was just like, I don't care. I'm going to just take any shot I can take. And I just thought, this is like the other side of that, like that wall.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of his, not his comedy, just his personal life. I have to say I find that with Chappelle as well. It's like a lot of what Chappelle, like he got a little pushback on something and then decided to devote all of his comedy to that, like almost to preaching. And it's just, I don't know. There's something about, like, I am a TV writer and there is something about the constraints of television or the constraints of an art form that make it good. Like, you know, whatever those things are, that sweet spot, I admire it.
Hey, Danny, real quick, not that I know you're the interviewer.
No, talk to me.
But give me your background. Cause if we haven't met, I know we've been in the same circles. I know I've been hearing your name forever.
Yeah.
I mean, where do I know you from?
Okay, well, I mean, I think most people would know me off of the last job, which was like I was 11 seasons on Modern Family.
Oh, wow.
So I wrote on that. And then, I mean, a lot of people know me from, sadly, on Twitter because I got into a very famous fight with Donald Trump prior to him becoming president that went. But I've been writing comedy since, you know, for 30 years. I mean, I started on the Arsenio Hall show. I did Roseanne. I did Grace Under Fire. I did Just Shoot Me, a couple of my own show, you know.
Wow. So do you stand up?
I just have been dipping my toe back into it. I did it when I was younger. It's funny. You and I share a little bit of a story in that, like, I never wanted to do anything other than this as well. And when I was a very, very young boy, like 5 or 6, I had the least Jewish upbringing you could have. I won't go into that story again, but but the most Jewish thing about me was that my mother's father was a bartender in the Catskills. And so I remember being 5 and being up there and meeting this guy, flashy guy. His name was Van Harris, and he was there with Buddy Hackett. And Van Harris was probably, his name was probably Shlomo Liebstein. But he told me that there was a thing about it being a comedian, and you can make, you know, you can get paid to make people laugh. And it was just like, I, it was like, It was like, I never wanted to do anything other, just like yourself. So I get it.
Wow.
I very much related to what you had to say. Our paths went different ways, but I'm now dipping my, you know, thanks to Jenny in no small part, but have been dipping my toe back in. And it's really fun to do stand up now for me because I have nothing at stake. Like I already have like a career and I don't need to, I'm not aiming for a Netflix special. I find it really therapeutic. I actually went to Edinburgh. I opened for a friend of mine in Edinburgh at Fringe Fest and I just had the best time. So
that's great.
Yeah. And because I'm like you, I love comedy. I've always loved comedy. I like funny people. That's why I devoured your Comedy Store doc. It was such an interesting glimpse into that, you know, into that, you know, it's a little, you know, when you were there, it was just slightly before my time, but it was still like just that era, you know, with Letterman and Shanley, all you guys. It was really incredible.
Well, the first part of it was me looking back, but the later episodes were more reportage, you know?
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, because I didn't know anything about it because I left. And then I was back there 2.5 years making it.
Yeah.
And now I'm back there working out there, which is very strange for me.
I'm sure.
And it's just a different time. And I love the world of stand-up now. I'm doing another six-part series, actually, on just the world of stand-up called The World of Funny, you know, yeah. Which is you know, about the new world of stand-up comedy. And one of the episodes is actually about the history. And one of the episodes is about all the comedy clubs around the country and the festivals, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah. How far into it are you, Mike?
I got a lot done in the fall and then I stopped. I did a really great piece on Chappelle's podcast.
Nice.
The Midnight Miracle, which is really fantastic. And I did a piece on Marin and I did a couple other little pieces in Nashville. And then I stopped and I'm waiting to get started up again, probably in the next few weeks.
And you also directed Bill Burr's special.
A couple of them.
Yeah, a couple of his specials. Yeah. Paper Tiger, I know.
Paper Tiger and Live at Red Rocks.
Both great.
He's one of my favorite stand-ups, I think.
Yeah, he's pretty incredible.
He's a beast.
He's very special. I mean, like, and to watch him grow and gain confidence has been rather amazing.
Yeah.
There's
some guys and people that are working right now that are mind-boggling to me, you know?
Like
Mark
who?
Norman.
Mark Norman's great.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Norman, Sam Morrell.
Yeah.
I love Rosebud Baker. I think she's fantastic.
She's
fantastic.
Great.
You know, it just goes on and on. You know, I don't know if either of you guys have seen, I've built this platform that for the last year or so called Stand Up World.
I have a link to it for sure.
Yeah, and we write about comics from all the past. We do a Let's Never Forget thing, and we do Pearls from the YouTube Ocean, you know, of specials that are on there that you can, you know, we just did a thing on this guy that I happened to see in London who opened for Bill at the Royal Albert Hall, Adam Rowe, who was just an unknown comic, and now he's like the biggest comic in England.
It's amazing.
You know? And wow. You know, it's
it's really cool, man, that you're doing that.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good, you know, and it also has links to podcasts and Twitter and stuff. It's only been up a year, but it's doing really well.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, what's interesting for me is I think that there's two ways to get older in comedy. And a very common way, unfortunately, and I hear, and it is are the people who, you know, anything new. It's like, that's not how we used to do it. And they hold on to their point of view on it. And it's like, they stop being fans of novelty and comedy. They stop being fans of like things like that. And I'm like you, where it's like, I love seeing what the generations coming up are doing and how amazing they are. And it makes me better.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, I'd go one step further and say, I don't love how the generations coming up are doing. I'm going to steal what they're doing.
That's how I feel.
Not their material, but I'm gonna, whatever works, whatever the new medium is, you know, comedy. And this is what that's, you know, the way I based the Comedy Store documentary, people thought, oh, it was always on decades. And I said, no, it was on technology.
Yeah.
The first one was I saw you on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
The second one was all about the sitcoms. The third one was all about the cable specials. And then it was about podcasts.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one was about these new shows like Kill Tony and and so, you know, comedy, stand-up comedy has always been right behind its fucked up cousin porn and helping new technology find dry land.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're right. There are so many comedians as they get older, they go, oh, that's not how it's that. What the fuck is that? And if you're smart, you go, hey, that's the way the crowd's going. I'm going that way. Cause that new technology works.
What drives me crazy about it is, don't those old guys remember the old guys that used to sneer at them for the way they did it?
Yeah.
Like, don't you remember? Don't, like, I am so conscious of that I would never want to be that. And comedy is an expiration date. You know, there's certain things that change and are better or worse, and it's like, it's fine. That's what makes it so dynamic.
I always say expiration dates have an expiration date, okay? You have to figure out everything's changing so fast that if you just watch what's ahead of you, you won't get in an accident, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like, I keep seeing people on like Instagram that'll just post, you know, a little clip of themselves and then they'll promote their upcoming shows, you know, but it's just like, here's, you know, it's like, I'm like a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Let me give you a little bit for free. And then here's the dates that I'm going to be at. And I'm like, oh, okay. I need to start doing that. I need to start recording my sets and trying to, because I've been too precious about something. I'm like, oh, that joke's not ready. I don't want to put it on Instagram. Well, just do it.
That's right. I'll tell you, I was talking to an older comedian, a friend of mine for a long time, just the other day, and he said, you know, Mike, you just keep doing it. I guarantee you very soon you'll get a Showtime special or a Netflix special. And I didn't want to say to him, you know, I don't want a Showtime special or a Netflix special. Okay. Because those are old lanes at this point. And especially by the time I'm going to be really ready and feel like it's good enough, that is an old avenue. The new, I mean, if you look at what Ari Shaffir just did with Jew, have you guys seen Jew?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Have you?
Danny froze, I think.
See, you mentioned Jew and look at him. He just,
he just,
right,
like you
up.
Said, Jew and Danny just froze. He's,
look at him. He just goes butthurt.
Yeah. No, but like I saw,
but he did.
Like he released it himself, right? Like the way that Andrew Schultz
released
it
himself on HBO on YouTube, and he has people Venmo him, and he has people, you know, there's a super fan button,
yeah,
and there's a PayPal button, and you know, and he's at 6 million views,
right?
Okay, and now I know 6 million is not a good number for a Jew, okay, but it. He'll get to 7 million soon, right? I'm telling you, it's a great special. He put a lot of money into it. He did it right.
Yeah.
And his ticket sales are through the roof. It's taken him to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, that's a thing is, like, if you're able to do it yourself and to bypass all the the suits that might want to dip in and give you pointers, you know.
Right.
Like, that's a huge thing where people all of a sudden, they think they're comics because they work, you know, and they'll ruin your shit for you. They'll completely ruin it. But
You're bypassing it, doing it yourself right now. You got your own show.
Right. Like,
you know,
I don't have anyone in my ear telling me I can't say something.
And that's the great thing. So when you feel, oh man, I've got a great 50 minutes or 45 minutes, you'll get three friends to film it, four friends to work cameras, you know? I mean, iPhones are good enough. They really are. But
like,
I
was thrilled, like, when I was at the San Jose Improv, and they're like, oh, we record everything. We take video for you. So they're going to be able to email me five shows that I did with, you know, three different cameras set up. That never happens, you know? Like,
that's right.
So I'll be able to have, like, that's huge for me. Like, I'm not a big name or anything. So I'm like, I can start cutting clips together and promoting myself with that. And if, you know, maybe I have one bit that people, that could be a thing. Well, that, you know, you put it on YouTube and people start sharing it, or you put it on Instagram. Like, that's, you know, that's how a lot of people are getting.
And how long have you guys been doing this podcast?
Oh God. I was just thinking, like, we started it maybe in like 20, Guy, do you know, is it like 20?
He says this is season 5.
Season 5.
That's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, like, for us to be able to just like have whatever guest we want to have on, we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. It, you know, there is something that's freeing and liberating about doing that. You don't have to worry about somebody in your ear telling you.
That's really great.
Yeah.
And how often do you do it?
We try to do them once a week. Like, this is our first episode of this year, but also, you know, we can get busy, or sometimes we've had a guest or something happens where we've had to be like, oh, okay, we'll do it next week. You know, that's another thing. It's not a big deal if we can't, you know, we don't have like a whole entire crew of people that showed up, and like, it's not a big deal if something, you know, falls through or whatever. Oh, I think Danny's back.
That's great. No, the reason I ask is because I just started one myself, and I've got 17 episodes done, you know, but mine, I just do it myself, and it's me talking and showing clips that I like and talking, you know, and it's basically talking about pieces we put up on standupworld.com. But I also like to talk about the new technology and like a new, like when Dane Cook came out with his special on moment.co or Ari's special or Andrew Schultz's special or, you know, like I said, this kid, Adam Rowe. There's this kid, Tyler Fisher, who's way out there, but he did his own special that I really liked, you know? And I just think that real soon, you know, Bobby Kelly put up his own, Louis C.K. made a special for Bobby and put it up on louisck.com. And I think it did more than him if he had done a special for Netflix.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, and plus you own it. It's like if you hit, you own it.
Yeah, but, and I also think that right now, other than maybe Chappelle and Chris Rock, you know, they just disappear. I mean, Paul Verzi's a really talented guy, and he made this special, and I thought it was really good, and we all kind of bugged Robbie Prawn and everybody to put it on Netflix, and he did, but it just didn't do anything. I mean, it kind of just disappeared, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what anyone says, I don't know anybody that's seen it, you know?
I feel that way, I don't know, one of my favorite just hours that I saw on, I think it was on Amazon now, but it's like so hard to find. It was like Eddie Pepitone's hour, which I thought was like, I just thought there was something so fucking brilliant. I love that guy, but it was especially brilliant. This is like, here's like an older guy getting out there and just knocking it out of the park, and which I really fucking, you know, I love. So
And Eddie just.
But by the way, you know, you can put up your own special on Amazon Prime by yourself.
I know you can.
You know that, right?
It's like, of course. Yeah. Like you can self-publish a book on Amazon. So it's like it's the same thing. They have that model.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, you know, and I'm just saying. So you know, a lot of these specials that Netflix is just saying, yeah, we'll buy it for nothing, and they just drop it on there. And it just disappears, you know. Even I have to say, and Red Rocks was brilliant, Bill. I thought it was Bill's best set ever. It's it kind of just, it just sat there.
Really, it's amazing. Well, Mike, we're at that point in the show where we start. We just talk about the things we've been watching. If there's anything, a couple things you want to
shout out. I've been watching Red Rocks. Bill Burr live at Red Rocks.
We need people to watch. Red Rocks is good. But stuff you weren't involved in, is there anything you like that you've been catching?
Yeah, I mean, the new season of Fauda is amazing.
Oh, I've heard. I haven't even seen the first version. I hear it's great, though.
Oh, it's amazing. That's the best show on television. I
got to write that down because I'm looking for. Okay.
I mean, if you like Jews getting shot in the head, you know, and who doesn't?
I mean, believe me. You're it's my number one porn search category.
Yeah.
So
kind of shot, Dan.
Oh, sorry. So Fauda, yeah, I'm gonna check that out.
Jews getting shot in the head. I was like, I like Poker Face. I saw the pilot of that. I thought it was
is it good?
The pilot I thought was fantastic. I haven't
I'm gonna definitely check it out.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, dug deep in it, but
a few episodes into this new one, The Recruit on Netflix, which is good.
Yeah, my friend writes that, Alexi Hawley.
He's a great writer.
Yeah, he is. I mean, the two of them, his identical twin brother is Noah Hawley. So the two of them are just like fucking brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's annoying how talented those two are.
What about you, Danny? What have you been watching?
I'm trying to think. We're talking about comedy. I enjoyed Neil Brennan's special Blocks. And,
oh, I love that.
I actually called him, by the way. I texted him, and then we got on the phone because his particular mental health issues very much mirror mine in some way.
Yeah.
So I texted him. I just told him how much I talked about him in therapy. And then we wound up, he said, call me. And so we talked for about an hour and a half. It was like therapy there. And I will say this, the podcast he does, Blocks podcast, is great. He has comics I don't know them that well, and I feel like I don't know Sebastian at all, but like hear Sebastian on him, like, and Neil is very good at getting you to break down and talk about the things and keep it funny, and so I've really been enjoying that, I will say. Anyway, it's been so long since we talked.
I know I
recently saw I'm sure everybody's seen it, but I really like The Menu. I thought that was great.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
So, you know, this chef, crazy chef who wants to murder his guest. It's about Guy Fieri. Murders
babies. Really?
No, it isn't. Yeah, it's a joke I'm going to write for the Oscars, I think. you know, it's a crazy chef who just wants to murder his patrons. So, I really like that.
Did you see the tongue twister of Inishman Rashinima?
I still haven't seen it. Is it do you like it?
Well, it's easier to watch than to say the name of the movie.
Yeah, The Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah,
but it was. I like the movie a lot.
I mean, my favorite movie of the last couple of years has been Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I could not be more.
I thought that was great.
That's the one that just touched me, and I thought did something original and good. So I really quite like that.
I enjoyed The Fabelmans.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I got the screener for that. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
like that was because it was actually apparently Spielberg's actual life, and
which
it's
surprised
not
me
at all what I assumed.
I thought for sure growing up he wanted to be a dry cleaner. You know, I had no idea.
I would have loved to see a two-hour love letter to dry cleaning.
So revelatory. That he, growing up, he wanted to make a movie.
I did think that was definitely between that and then Everything Everywhere All at Once were my two favorites for sure.
Yeah, that was good. It was good. I like Glass Onion too. I mean,
oh, I love that. I thought that was
I thought that was really well done.
It was a fun. It was a fun watch.
Yeah, I mean, the act. I have to get past. I have to get past his accent. I wish they didn't commit to that as much, but apart from that, I mean, I love the movie. Yeah, I don't know what else.
Have you guys seen 1883?
No.
Is that the
prequel to Yellowstone?
No, I haven't even seen Yellowstone yet.
So I haven't seen it.
I know. I got to see all those things. I haven't though. I heard.
Yeah. Well, I love the prequel. I mean, Tim, I forget his name.
Oliphant?
He's a country. No, he's a country star and Faith Hill's husband.
Oh, Tim McGraw.
Yeah, he's really good in it.
Really?
And so is Faith Hill. Yeah, they're really good. And it's really good. And then they've only shown 3 or 4 episodes of the next one, which is 1923, and that's Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren, and that,
yeah, I saw really that. Yeah, I gotta watch it. Well, that's good. Jenny, anything else? Or are you good?
I'm good. Yeah, everyone, go to the improv tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So come, that come starts at 8:30, right?
8:30 at the Hollywood Improv in the lab.
And what time tonight do I go on? That's the important thing.
What time do you want to go on? I'll put you up.
Whenever you want me to go on.
I think I've got you. I'll email you or I'll text you the lineup.
This is good for the
audience. You don't want to air any dirty laundry on.
No, they like to see how the sausage is made here. This is great.
Yeah.
See this?
Yeah. Well, we have some good folks.
Yeah, you have a great
Lisa
lineup.
Ann Walter Justin from Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, Justin Martindale.
Who, by the way,
if he doesn't host the game show with that name, he should.
Yeah, Justin Martindale. Like, you just think, oh yeah, he should.
Also, there's a football player named Wink Martindale. Am I wrong?
Yes.
No, wait.
I know who Wink Martindale is.
Wink Martindale, but there's also a coach.
There is a coach named Wink Martindale?
Yes. Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to say, what a pleasure to have you on the show.
You guys,
man.
I really appreciate you having me on. And I was just asking when you went to go to the bathroom, I was asking Jenny all about your podcast, because I think it's great that you're doing it, and it's really great.
Oh man, thanks!
I wish you the best.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And we'll meet you in 3 dimensions soon.
Are you coming tomorrow night?
I was thinking I may be driving to Vegas tomorrow, so I'm not sure. So it's gonna it's
what do you got, a hot tip or what is...
my son and his girlfriend, my son turned 22 in December, and as a gift I'm taking them to Vegas, but I might get there a day early, you know, for hookers. If I don't do that, I'll be at the show.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Doing It Nation. And we love you.
We love you. And we'll be back next week.
Mwah.
Thank you.